My name is Stephen King. I've written several motion pictures, but I want to tell you about a movie called Maximum Overdrive, which is the first one I've directed.
Wow.
What in the dickens is going on around here?
A lot of people have directed Stephen King novels and stories, and I finally decided if you want something done right, you ought to do it yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the Heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your once in a while podcast for everything in the world heavy metal, rock and roll, Northeast Ohio. Sometimes we just don't give a damn about the whole state of Michigan. You guys give a damn about the state of Michigan?
No.
Man, I don't give a damn about that.
I'm not going to say that I don't give a damn about the state of Michigan because Flint's all fucked up. So yeah. I do give a fuck about those people because they're being railroaded by our government.
Sure, but I mean, they gave us Kid Rock and Ted Nugent. Well, Ted Nugent, I'm sorry, Stranglehold's still like one of the sexiest songs.
Dude, ball with the ball, the ball's the shit. Crazy, but he's throwing some good shit.
Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are, dude. A ball with the ball comes on, you're bobbing your head, dude. I don't care if you don't like that motherfucker or not. That shit fucking...
I've seen Kid Rock like 7 times. But that was like in the 90s.
Yeah.
That was when I loved my new metal, damn it. I loved it.
The last time I seen Kid Rock was with Metallica and Seven Dust, and I did security for that show at the Gund or whatever, and they zip tied all the chairs together on the floor so nobody could mosh. And I'm bullshit up top going, why don't you just mosh anyways? Do it! Just move the chair, throw them!
All moves one piece if you push them.
It would be awesome. It would just kind of like a wave. Yeah. A wave of chairs.
My name is Eagle, and I am joined by this guy. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Garber City Redbeard, Jesus Christ.
And we have a very, very fucking special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself, good man.
Kenny Royer.
Kenny Royer!
Mighty Kenny, the Thunder Machine from Goosed and the Ravenna Arsenal. And have you done anything? What else do you
do? I got drug out of a lot of bars.
Yeah. I may have had to carry you a few times.
A lot of people know me from that.
I'll tell you this real quick. The best time I had carrying Kenny out of a bar, me and Rusty. Carrying him out, he's fucking wasted, right? Like, so Rusty has him on the right side. I have him on the left side. Each one of us have an arm around our shoulders and one leg up, so he's kind of like in a sitting position as we're carrying him out of the bar. And the whole way out, he's going, "I gotta take a piss. I gotta take it. Yes, I gotta take a piss." And we're like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, just hold on." And you're like, "No, seriously." So we get him outside, like right outside the front door at the post, and set him down because he has to take a piss. And he asks us to help him get his dick out.
Damn!
And we're like, not doing that. That's not gonna happen. So then, like, I wish you people can see this, but like, this is how I'm holding Kenny up while he's pissing because he's got his dick out and he's like leaned up against the car, but he can't stand up on his own. So like, I have to support him. So I'm like doing this, just fucking trying not to get pee on me.
Whiskey's a hell of a drug.
All the beer too.
Oh yeah. Whiskey's always the thing that pushes it over the top for me.
He's just as talented of a drinker as he is a drummer. He does them both just as hard.
I practice drinking a lot more, trust me.
You execute both well, sir.
Since pretty much the inception of this podcast, we have talked about our favorite event of the year. And multiple times we have stated our favorite event of the year.
The only show ever in my life that, like, when a certain day, which is the beginning of the year, like January 1st, as soon as January 1st hits, what is on my mind is, what's Kenny doing for BOCO this year?
Dude, yeah, we fantasy booked Blackout Cookout. Yeah. Like, for months, we're just like, okay, what if they get this band and they get this band and this band? And then, like, when you finally delivered the list, I was just like, all right, he's got some of them right. He's got some of them right. Because it matched up to mine in the little bingo that I was playing.
The bingo?
Who was on your bingo?
I had Ton on my bingo.
Awesome, dude. It's amazing band.
Yeah, I had Actual Form on there.
Fucking love those guys.
Bob Clark's a big fan of those guys. Yeah, he loves some actual form. And I have not got to see them live yet.
Definitely check them out.
Yeah, no, I want to. Like, I'm excited to see them because I haven't got to see them
yet. I saw them up at Annabelle's a couple times so far. Like I've actually had the joy of being able to get out of work at like 11 and shoot straight across the street. And they were just going on. I was like, fucking perfect timing.
Nice. It's like progressive, but they got mad riffs and they're really good. Ian's a fucking amazing drummer.
Yeah.
They're good shit, dude. Awesome. Can't wait to watch them.
I'm excited for Bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Dude, those guys are good.
They're so fun.
What's the gentleman's name that has a better beard than me?
Bob Brinkman.
Bob Brinkman with a better beard.
Better beard.
That's a lot of fucking
Bob
beard.
Bob Brinkman from Bridesmaid with a better beard.
He does, though.
He kind of tamed it back a little bit, but still pretty huge.
That thing's fucking gorgeous.
So you've been doing this for damn near a decade.
This is year 9, right? Boco 9 this year.
It's hard to believe, honestly.
Yeah, but considering, like, past the first one, you were like, I don't know if I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, well, dude.
And then the second one, you're like, I don't know if I'm going
to
do it again.
I think at one point, when it got to be around 7 or 8, I was like, well, I definitely got to go to 10 now. And just
right, yeah, you ended on 7, that's going to be silly.
Yeah.
You go for 20, I guess, right? 25 would be the next number because you need the quarter of a century. Yeah. So it has to be Boco 25.
Yeah,
with,
man.
And that'll have bands with people that aren't born yet.
I get pretty nervous about it leading up to it, and I'm just like, man, I hope everything works out. But, like, always the next day, I'm like, all right, I got to start thinking what I'm going to do about next year.
Next year, yeah.
Just because, I mean, it's always worth it after it's over, you know?
You don't really think about next year until that's over, though, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I always have ideas, but I don't really try to put anything into motion until one's over because it's just so much energy that goes into it and work and time and money, and
it's always a stressful thing when you're the one that's in charge of a show.
Oh yeah, dude.
You know,
and you know when you just, I mean, there's always a core group of people that come out no matter what, just because it is a fucking fun event, you know. But then you're always wanting new people to come and brands to bring people. So
absolutely, yeah.
I'm always wanting it to be bigger, you know.
That's the kind of point. To grow it,
right?
You know, and it is. Seriously, it's one of the best shows of the year as far as the value of the show goes, dude. Like,
oh yeah,
you're not gonna get a better like list of bands playing one show, as many bands as there are, and get to eat a bunch of good fucking food, like, because it's literally a cookout. Like,
yeah,
this is the Blackout Cookout is not a joke. This is a fucking event where you drink a lot and eat a lot.
That's, right. It's definitely worth it, dude. It's $25 for 11 fucking badass bands, and you can, as long as the food lasts, you can eat as much as you want.
And, dude, last year there was so many fucking ribs. I was so happy last year, dude. Like, I ate so many ribs, and I don't eat pork hardly ever, and beef, like, hardly ever. So when Boco comes around, dude, like, that's what I'm...
Time to smash.
I'm fucking smashing, and I did last year. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, man, it worked out pretty well. I mean, you know, we had Lacey's mom and stepdad serving, and you know, they did for so long until basically it was just kind of like, help yourself and finish this shit, you know.
And that's usually when it comes to me, like, I don't get to eat until later.
Yeah,
but I'll make a plate and throw it in the fridge and eat it when I get home.
There's always like all the drunks and stoners that are always heading back out there late to fucking finish that shit off.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because they are drunk and stoned by fucking then.
Yeah, man, that's a good deal. I think so. I mean, fuck.
So it's going down September 8th at the Outpost Concert Club.
4962 State Route 43 in Kent.
There it is.
And what time the doors open?
4 p.m. It will be doors and food, and then the first band's going to go on at 5.
Every year, this is the best fucking show. You will not find a better show anywhere locally. It's not going to fucking happen.
I mean,
it's not going to happen. There's too many good bands on one show every year.
You get a good taste of like stoner doom style bands. You get just like fucking like clutchy rock groove fucking bands. You get punk. I mean, I saw Fuck You Pay Me at a Blackout Cookout.
when they played the Blackout Cookout, that's when they didn't like me.
Right.
Was because
they didn't like me that night.
I was like, no to the fireworks.
I don't think Joe still likes them because of the fireball that Tony blew.
And we love that fucking band, dude. Like, they're so good.
They're so
good. It's such a good live show with those guys.
Oh, yeah.
But as the, you know, being one of the people on the side of the fence of the venue and shit, it's so sketchy.
I mean, you got it. When those guys roll up, you just don't know what to expect.
Yeah. Really good dudes, though, and a fucking great band. But yeah, that was definitely the night that they didn't like me.
When we saw them at the Blackout Cookout, my wife was like, 12 months pregnant at that time.
Right.
So we were standing in the back. We're just watching it. We're just watching Fuck You Pay Me do their thing. And I swear to God, Tony Erba like points right back at me and Jessica. And he's like, get in the pit, you pussies. And we're both like, oh, God. What the fuck? I was like, Jesus, you guys are punk rock. You have death metal bands in the creme de la creme. Like, you've been, I've seen you at like every show. And if you see you on social media, it's like every night you're at different shows, fucking like scouting bands for Blackout Cookout. Cause I've talked to you a few times, like seeing some bands being like, this band doing a little nudge, like Blackout Cookout. And you're like, I'm listing it up. I got them all. Just,
yeah, like, man. I mean, there's all the bands I know that I'm friends with that I like to have play, but it's also, you know, you got to keep rotation. You can't have the same bands all the time.
Right,
so it's
right,
good
absolutely.
To, it's good to check out new bands, especially around here, man, because, I mean, you know, I like to bring in bands from out of town, but I like to have, you know, bands from here, too, obviously.
Right, now, because
Lopan.
On it again this year.
I think they've played it more than anyone.
Right, but
they've been playing it since the third one.
Why they're like a staple, yeah.
They're amazing.
Dude, they're fucking awesome.
But they're from Columbus.
They're from correct? Columbus.
Now, I was checking out the band
Also from Columbus. Yeah. John Finley, he's from here. He was in Party of Helicopters with Jamie Stillman from Earthquaker Devices.
Okay.
And his family owns that Lucci's Pizza
In Kent?
In Kent, yeah.
No, dude, that pizza is so dude. Fucking bomb.
Yeah, Eye is cool, man. They're psychedelic-y, kind of progressive.
It's you know, like, they would have ruled the late 60s, 70s, early 70s. You know what I mean? Like, their fucking sound.
Yeah, I've heard them compared to, like, King Crimson and shit before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited.
Who else is from Ohio on this list?
Well, Bridesmaid.
Goose? You guys? Which is you guys.
Right.
You're in that band.
Yeah.
So you're like, you know, it's my show.
Yeah.
I'm going to play that shit.
Fuck yeah. Oh, we have the perfect fucking formula, too, man. Like, we always play last on the backstage. That way we don't got to tear anything down. We can just leave the stage and go watch the rest of the show. Not to deal with gear.
And then pass out on said stage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's not. And then and be there the next day and do it all over again.
Work your way right into the famed Max Out, Relax Out.
I'm pretty sure Joe's gets more excited for the Blackout Cookout in a half the next day than he does the actual show, because it's always a party that
yeah,
day.
Yeah, he's said it before that he fucking loves the next day.
Yeah, it gets a little crazy on that patio when you go to that .5.
Okay, so let's run out this list of bands from the bottom up. So, Thigh.
Thigh is Andy Powder and the Drips. I don't know if you remember those guys.
I don't.
Andy was also in a band called Deep Holler with Bill and Lewis that owns Stone Tavern.
Okay.
So Thigh is just Andy on guitar and Bill Govan on drums.
Billy playing drums.
Bill's gonna be opening the show. It's pretty cool. I think you guys will dig it.
Nice.
Oh hell yeah!
And that's a straight like instrumental act, or is he?
Andy does vocals.
Vocals too.
But it's cool. Hard to explain. It's just it's rock and roll, man.
Right.
Yeah, I don't rock and roll, man. I can never figure out words to put the bands, dude.
You know, I meant.
Well, you know, people try to compare bands to other bands all the time, and it doesn't necessarily work out because not all bands sound like other bands.
Right.
Some bands just sound like who they are. You know what I mean?
I met Bill at the Buzz Bin. He was working at the Buzz Bin for the Froggy Fresh show, you know, because I'm metal as fuck.
Man, so fucking sad that I missed that, though.
My 13-year-old son, like, when I asked Bill up front, I was like, you're in Goosed, right? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I do a podcast with Grant. And he's like, oh, I know who you are. My son thought I was, like, the coolest motherfucker because he's heard me talk about Goosed before. Like he's seen the shit around our place. Like, and so, like, he's just like, so that dude knows you, huh? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, and he's in Goosed? And I was like, yeah. And so the same thing happened today where I was like, oh, I'm going to go. I got to go talk to this dude, Kenny. We're going to podcast. And he was like, okay. And I was like, he's also in Goosed. And he's like, what? So we got a Grievance Committee.
Grievance Committee is Cleveland band. I'm sure Grant's familiar with 100,000 Leagues Under My Nutsack.
I am. Oh, Robbie Nutsack, the famed Robbie Nutsack.
Robbie master is in Grievance Committee.
Is it really? Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ, dude.
What?
Oh, yeah. My God. What? Master of merch. Fucking Robbie Nutsack, this fucking dude. If you've ever had a conversation in your life with this guy, you'll never fucking forget.
Oh, man, he's hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
He actually, I got his number a while ago. We hung out the night that Sepultura played at the Outpost.
That was a great show. Packed house. But packed. It was like sold out, right? It wasn't.
There was 140 people there.
One cool thing, though, is I got to go on the fucking Sepultura tour bus, which it was just like, I was like weirded out just because I've been following those guys for so long. I'm just like, oh, that's just Paulo Jr. sitting right there.
Right. He's only been fucking jamming since like 83. It's cool.
It was cool, though. But I met Robbie. Well, I met him before that, but I got his number there. And like, I was working one day and like, I get a text from him. I get a phone call from him while I was working. I couldn't answer it. I'm like, this dude must be butt dialing. Why the fuck would he be calling me? And he texted me, Robbie Stevens here, Keel Hall manager. I need to talk to you about the Blackout Cookout. And he's like telling me, you know, his band, which I've heard about. They had just played in Columbus with Midnight to like a sold out crowd.
Oh, shit. Nice. Nice.
And I don't know, man. He's a funny dude. I had a good time with him and listened to his band. So I decided to put him on. I mean, I'm sure he'll help with bringing some people down from Cleveland, you know.
I've seen 100,000 Leagues Under My Nutsack, and I've seen them up at fucking the Grog Shop. They played up there one night, and it was fucking...
They're a band for real?
Yeah, that was
sticker?
No, that was a thing.
I don't know how many shows they've actually played. I mean, I don't know much about it, but...
Not many.
That dude had sent me a link, like you said, the Merch Master. The dude has a fucking webpage with like 20 different shirts.
You have no fucking clue.
It's insane.
Look, Burns used to tell me a story all the time about Robbie back in the day, and I don't know if it's true, and I always wanted to ask him, but I've never had the chance to, like, sit down and actually talk to the dude, that he has or had a human baby fetus in a jar at his house. It was an oddity that he owned, and that Jonathan Davis from Korn used to try to buy it off him all the time and supposedly offered him like 10 grand for it. And wow. Robbie turned that down.
Oh, shit.
So I don't know that if that's true. I don't know that if he has a baby fetus in the jar. But it's, that's pretty cool.
He is an interesting dude for sure. I used to listen to this song from those, I think it was called like My New Killing Machine. He's like, time to kill. It's like this ballad about like my new killing machine. Me and my buddy Link, we did nerdy rap. We love this shit that we heard from him. So I hit him up one day on MySpace. This is the MySpace days. I hit him up on MySpace and I was like, we would love to record something with you. I was like, you're so weird. We're weird. Like, let's do something together. And he gets back to me and he's like, let me check out some of your stuff. So I sent him a couple songs. He sends me back a thing. He's like, be $1,000. That was the last I ever heard from him.
Dude, that dude is funny as fuck.
Last I ever heard from him.
And positive attitude is
great. I was on tour with the Ravenna Arsenal one time, and we were playing in St. Louis, Missouri. And there's this place there called the Silver Ballroom. It's like a pinball parlor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was down the street from the bar we were playing at. And there was 100,000 Leagues Under My Nutsack sticker, like, on the sign outside. And I think Bill took a picture of it and sent it to Burns. He was like, dude, look what I saw in St. Louis. Burns is like, dude, those fucking things are all over the world.
Yeah. And they are. Yeah, they are. There's one on my porch. Yeah. There's one on my porch.
There's one on the inside
bookcase.
Door of my Jeep.
Yes. They're everywhere.
We got Actual Form, which we talked about a little bit. It's going to be playing this.
Yeah, where are those guys? Are those guys Akron-based?
Yeah.
Akron-based?
Yep.
And then, obviously, you guys. Six Kills Nine.
Fucking excited for this, man. It's Aaron and Dana from Keel Hall.
Oh, yeah. And those dudes are awesome.
John Vinson, who plays drums in Axioma and was also in Forged in Flame. And Sean Knight, who I just met the other night, who is the singer of Childbite.
Oh, okay. I've seen those guys play.
This is going to be their first show. And I'm just super pumped about it, man, because... I know, Aaron and Dana together. I mean, Keel Hall is one of my favorite Ohio bands ever.
Keel Hall is like one of the best.
Yeah, they're a band that's like, yeah, definitely from Ohio, but even in just, I mean,
oh,
in
general, like speaking of the genre, like they're top shelf.
Badass, dude.
If you don't know who Keel Hall is, go Google some Keel Hall right now and listen to that. It's fucking so good.
Like I said, I put a post up about them on the event page, but like, you know, when we got Keel Hall to play the third Blackout Cookout, I mean, it's kind of a big deal, you know? And, like, that kind of solidified the fact for me that, like, I'm going to keep doing this because a lot of people came out and it was super fun. I'm like,
right,
I got to do this again now.
And those dudes had a good time. I totally remember them being fucking drunk.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So
yeah, they party.
Definitely good time.
Aaron Dallison's a fucking maniac. Anytime I'm around that guy, it just goes down for sure.
Bridesmaid's gonna be on this bad motherfucker. I love Bridesmaid.
Yeah, those guys kill.
Bridesmaid's fucking awesome, man. My buddy's from Columbus. Just super tone freaks. They got so much fucking awesome gear, and they're fucking total sweethearts, too. Goose did a couple out-of-towners with them in March. We played Columbus with them, and then we went to Chicago and played with them, and that was fun. It's cool to travel with those guys.
Nice.
You got the iconic death metal band Ton.
Oh, some of my favorite people in the entire world, dude. And pretty much masters of the craft. I mean, yeah. They've been doing it forever, dude. I mean, they're just one of the fucking badasses.
They might be the first death metal band from the Northeast Ohio area that I ever saw live.
That's me as well.
Yeah.
Me as well.
And I was like, oh, I think I like death metal now, guys. Guys, I think I like death metal. Like, they were that
like,
fucking good.
I listened to death metal before I'd seen them. You know what I mean? Like, I listened to Corpse and shit, obviously.
Sure.
But as far as like a local, like, because even like a local death metal band, they were huge the first time I seen them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, everybody was like, fucking Ton, dude. And I'm like, what is happening? Who? What? And exactly. Then they played, and then afterwards, you're like, fucking Ton, dude. Those guys are awesome. Jeff Shepler is a goddamn maestro. Man.
I've seen them a shitload of times. They're fucking so fun to watch. Just to watch them fucking play is crazy. And like, even with Fully Consumed, man, like, I saw those guys.
Yeah.
We played with them too so many fucking times. And
Fully. Yeah.
But just watching those guys play it's like a fucking clinic, man. I don't, it's just crazy. It blows your fucking mind.
Again, fuck you, Matt Boehner.
Damn, I just saw he's moving to a fucking cabin in the woods, dude.
Dude, he bought like the dopest fucking house in the woods.
I need to go out there, man, and see his ass, because that's fucking
I'll never
cool.
want to come home.
I know.
You'll leave too.
No, I wouldn't move up there.
That's what they did. They fucking go out there, like, they went out there and vacationed or something, and they're like, we like it so much, we're going to stay. And then you destroy Fully Consumed.
Now
Kenny's going to come out and visit you. And then he's not going to want it. He's going to come back and be like, Lacey, we got to move to fucking Washington because it's beautiful and it's great. And
we're going to get a cabin right next to Matt.
It'll be perfect. I'll be in a band with him that's not Fully Consumed or Ghost or Ravenna Arsenal. And then people back in Ohio could just suffer because fuck them.
Actually, speaking of Matt, dude, his new band's fucking badass.
Really? Yeah, I heard that.
I pre-ordered their
a couple weeks ago.
Album and shit. So I was listening to it. It's really good.
What's the name of that band?
I don't know how to pronounce it. Aetherius or Aeth? I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Yeah, way to go. Get in a band that nobody can talk about.
I guess it's pull the name up. I don't fucking know. How would you say it?
I love Matt Boehner for the record. But
me too, man. We used to be stepbrothers.
Aetherius.
Aetherius.
That's
what I always think of it as.
Aetherius?
Yeah.
Aetherius?
Yeah, Aetherius. Whatever, dude. I bet it looks really cool spelled out with branches from trees.
Yeah, a name you can't pronounce with the logo that you can't
read.
We can't pronounce it or read it.
But you guys sound amazing.
Yeah.
That's all that counts. So.
Eyes playing this, EYE, all caps, was what you were saying, from Columbus, right?
Yeah, Columbus band, yeah. And I was listening to these guys, and they seriously, they could have toured with Sabbath back in the day and just ruled the nation. They're really good. They're fucking good.
Yeah, you'll dig it, Eagle, for sure.
Fuck yeah. Sweet Cobra's going to be playing this.
Sweet Cobra, cool-ass dudes who I met when we... They were doing a run of shows this year sometime. I forget when we did it, but we booked them at Annabelle's and we played with them. And they're just super nice guys, super badass. They're from Chicago. It's stonery rock, but it's kind of got like an old school feeling to it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's they're good shit, man. I'm pumped for them.
I feel like I've seen Sweet Cobra before.
I have not. I've seen Contra.
I think they were in,
which looks like Cobra.
Does.
They were in Cleveland with somebody, because I remember Joe talking about going. They've toured with someone, I forget, but Joe said he had saw them there before. That was my first time seeing them, or even listening to them, was when they reached out to book a show in Akron.
Nice. Joe is quite knowledgeable when it comes to those kind of bands.
Yeah.
Like, he listens to a lot of shit.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Of course, Lopan, a staple of the Blackout Cookout,
yeah,
as
man,
far as
I
I'm
mean,
concerned.
Nothing fucking spells out fucking Kaboko like fucking Lopan.
Right.
I mean, those dudes are fucking... I mean, we had the longest running band of playing there with the Arsenal, but then, you know, once we couldn't do it that year, but Lopan has taken over as played it more than anyone. So
they are kind of a staple of Boca.
Yeah, to me at this point, it's like they're in it for the long haul, man. As many of them as I do, they're fucking playing, dude.
And look, that's how you know you have a good show too, though, when you have a band like Lopan that wants to work with you every year for that show.
Yeah,
and I know that they do. Like they have a good time.
Like when I was talking about us Goose going to Columbus earlier, man. I mean, they help us out too. I mean, they got on that show with us and Bridesmaid at that Columbus bar, and it was a real good show, man. We had a fucking blast.
Nice. I haven't been down to Columbus in forever. They did have a good scene down there.
There's a lot of good bands from there, man, and we had a lot of friends down there. It's a pretty cool scene.
And then I'm assuming headlining?
Torch. Oh, for sure, man. Oh,
shit.
Torch, eh?
One of my favorites, dude.
Dude, I got like a half favorites. I got like a half chub when I saw that. I was like, for fucking real? Like,
yeah, it's kind of a reaction. Big deal to me, man. I mean, I've been listening to those guys for a long time, seen them a bunch of times. Dude, they played at Musica in Akron like a couple years ago, and there was no one there, and I was like, what the fuck?
I remember when that show was happening.
I think it was like, I don't think it was very well promoted or anything. Mm-hmm. I think they might have just had like, they're coming through on tour or something, but Mockingbird played with them, and it was fucking awesome. But I've seen them a few times, and there's some of their, like, I just love them, dude, and they're one of my favorite bands.
Let us go.
far as tempo goes, because they're quite capable of just steady,
yeah,
you know, riffy fucking right. stoner rock, but then they do have some faster shit.
And that dude sings like a really, fucking angel.
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah.
And, but their guitar player is really riffy too.
Oh yeah, and they're just, dude, they're so fucking just loud and just, it just, their mix, like, just their tone is so fucking yeah. warm, dude.
And that's like, and that's what I was thinking. I was like as loud as they sound on disc, yeah. you know what I mean, like digitally, like I know how the sound is at the post.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like they're gonna fucking sound so huge. It's gonna be, like it's gonna be so big.
It's gonna be fucking cool as fuck, dude. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got so pumped. I think I messaged you where I was like, I thought I was like the only person that knew about this band. Cause they're Torch is a band that like I'll play when I'm hanging out with people just in hopes they'll be like, hey, who's this?
Who's this?
What are we listening to? I'll be like, oh, Torch.
They'd
be
oh,
like,
you don't oh, know about
I don't know
this?
About Torch. I don't know about Torch. But usually people are like, it sounds kind of like Sabbath-y, kind of Sabbath, just like, and I'm like, yeah.
You can say that about, like, any stoner
rock band. Yeah, I was like, yeah, any yeah. stoner rock band, like, you'd be like, that's kind of Sabbath-y.
Familiar with Sabbath?
Yeah, that's where all metal came from.
Yeah, like, any stoner rock shit came from them first four Black Sabbath records, easily.
Right.
But, yeah, man, Torch, fucking, I'm like, so stoked that they were excited to do it, too, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I emailed their, what I assumed to be their manager that was listed on their webpage, and he got back to me and said he wasn't working with them anymore. I mean, he forwarded the email to the band, and just a long period of time went by, and the dudes from the band got back to me, which is always fucking way better to be able to work with a band, like, personally, than have to go through some fucking tour manager, you know?
Yeah.
So that worked out good, and they were looking to do like some festival shows, and like it just worked out perfect, dude. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked when I heard who the headliner was this year.
Yeah, dude, like, that's huge, man. I mean, it's hopefully a lot of people come out for it, man. I think they will.
You better, if you're listening to this and you don't go, you're dead to
September
me.
8th Saturday, bro, Outpost,
run down the goddamn lineup, like we just went over it with you. Go listen to all these bands. Yeah. You're not going to find a better show.
The three of us are going to be there.
Yeah.
Food is going to be there.
Lots of ribs. Barbecue.
Ribs.
Barbecue.
Pork. Lacey's going to make that mac and cheese again.
Yo, that mac and cheese last year, dude. Holy shit. Now, look, I'm a huge, everybody knows.
Oh, yeah.
Huge fan you of macaroni and cheese. Like, that's my life and shit, that macaroni and cheese. Yeah, I couldn't get enough of that shit last year.
Dude. Yeah, I told her we're going to have to make more this year. Well, I say we, I mean her.
Is that how a lot of things go in your relationship?
Yeah, exactly.
We do this and we do that, but it's really Lacey.
But
she's in charge of everything.
I told her we need to make sure we make more of that, because not only did it go fast, like there were so many compliments on that shit, man. It was like crazy. So, yeah, that's good. And for the people that don't eat meat, man, I mean, I know there's a lot of them, it's whatever, but if there's macaroni and cheese and there's like quinoa salad and shit, I mean.
They don't listen to this show. Non-meat eaters don't listen to this.
I'm
not going to go out of my way to like make some pulled jackfruit or anything, but you can have fucking
there's a
macaroni and cheese, motherfucker.
I'm pretty sure like the meat eaters that listen to the show have non-meat eating girlfriends somewhere, though. You know what I mean? And that they're only with her because she's hot.
Dumper.
If you don't eat meat, just fucking drink liquor.
Yeah. Substitute macaroni and cheese, quinoa salad, whiskey.
There you go. That's a fucking meal if I ever heard.
Right.
Right.
I'm excited. I'm super excited for sure. I can't even believe that it's like a week away.
Dude,
it's
I
a
can't
week
either,
away.
Man, it's fucking. It just.
It's here.
It's fast. Yeah. I'm pumped, man. But also, it's just like I can't believe it. It's like always kind of marks the end of summer, you know. And,
yeah, it is.
But I mean, that's a good way to go out, I guess, right?
Damn. Yeah.
I would choose no better of a way. It's like July didn't exist, though. I don't even know what happened in July.
I know, dude. It's fucking weird.
I remember July 4th because I got pulled over that night and shit, but, like, I don't remember.
Yeah, July. I think it went from June to August, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, this fucking summer zipped past. Once, you know,
I guess
whatever.
It's like the older you get, I mean,
yep.
It doesn't even.
Time flies, and you're just going to be dead soon.
Yeah.
Breaking ribs for no reason.
So you've been playing music for how many years now?
Well, I started playing drums when I was a little kid, and then I was in a couple bands and shit, but I took a long period of time from not playing, and then like somewhere in the mid 2000s I started playing again.
Yeah.
Bill actually bought a drum set and like wanted to start a band, so couldn't really say no.
Yeah.
That's when we started the Arsenal.
That's the best way to do
it. So how long ago was that?
2008?
2008?
2009 maybe.
So
I don't know.
10 years. I mean, 9, 10 years.
since I've been back at it, but I don't know. I just kind of sold my drum. I actually sold my first drum set to Matt Banner. And
he doesn't deserve it,
man. I don't know, man. I just didn't play for a long time. I just got out of it. I still went to shows and shit, but I mean, I don't know.
When was the period of time like musically for you that you were a rapper?
Oh, you rap?
Because I know that I know for a fact that he is a freestyle master.
Oh shit!
Yeah, just add fucking alcohol and weed.
he can fucking freestyle better than most motherfuckers who actually want to freestyle.
Me and Bill had a little hip hop project going like in the early 2000s.
I knew it.
Called Stray Haymaker. I think there might be a song on MySpace still.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna find that.
I think Google he lost search. All the actual files. That. We recorded a bunch of shit, but it's gone somewhere. But I don't know, man. I've been freestyling ever since I was a kid. I've listened to hip hop forever. So it's just always seemed really fun to do.
I mean, it's the same way with us. Like, you know, we're metalheads who have listened to hip hop our entire lives.
Yeah, I mean, I got into hip hop probably when I was like 12 or 13, like Cypress Hill and shit.
That early 90s, the G-Funk era?
Yeah, like, yeah, that kind of shit. Fucking Redman.
He's the greatest, right?
He's my favorite MC of all time, for sure.
He's the greatest.
I drop a punchline at lunchtime because I'm a close encounter of the nun kind with dumb vibes. I battle all of y'all at one time. So fuck all you fools out there with the large vocabulary and your sentence. I don't need that shit to pay my rent with.
A lot of people fucking don't just overlook him when they're listening like their top MCs, but I don't think it's just because I haven't listened enough, man.
Yeah,
Redman can fucking, he can clown, and he can also just, his wordplay is fucking unbeatable.
Yeah, I have Dare's the Dark Side in What the Album in the car.
Nice.
And I still to this day, I'm like, man, like he's better than, you know, I don't want to say Kendrick Lamar.
Don't fucking sleep on Redman, motherfucker.
I think you give Kendrick Lamar a bit too much credit.
Kendrick's,
that's just my personal opinion.
Kendrick's really
that's
good.
Herb's boy, man. Herb loves that motherfucker. I like it, but I mean, I just haven't listened to it enough.
Herb's drunk.
I mean, I can give you. I got
he probably
the dance
is right now. Honestly,
it's Sunday past noon. Herb's drunk right now.
I don't know. He's kind of.
If you're like sleeping on somebody like Redman, though, you might not be a fan of Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
But you, if you listen to Redman, you might understand that a bit more. Because there's a lot of people that don't like Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
A lot of people that don't like that shit. I remember bringing fucking...
He's not actually in the Wu-Tang Clan.
No. Who?
Redman.
Oh, he's not?
No.
I thought he was part of Wu-Tang.
Death Squad.
Today, Grant learned.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, Brick City.
I think it's just because he has the Man on his name and he runs with that crew.
And him and Method Man are like forever. They're so tight. Yeah.
Blackout album, dude. That's some of the best shit ever. Method Man and Redman. I listened to that fucking CD till it didn't work anymore, man.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Shit. Oh, what was that? Serial Killers track. The fucking... It was track 6 on that. Murder, murder, murder. Kill, kill, kill.
Listen on the car seats, flattening the whip. So there's no escape from the fate that awaits. No one to witness the horror taking place. Yeah. Now I'm on my way up the stairs to the bedroom.
Oh my God.
You didn't know that Kenny was this hip to hip hop.
I'm super hip to hip hop.
I know you are.
I'm wearing a Biggie Smalls shirt.
I know you are.
One of my favorites. Biggie.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep. I hate the comparison of Biggie and Tupac where everybody's
it's
like,
it's just
Tupac
nonsense, dude. Yeah, just because like, they died around the same time. Yeah, I mean, they were nothing alike.
I was like, nothing.
I mean, they were both like at the top of the game when it happened. But
mm-hmm.
I don't like the comparison either. I mean, you don't have to like one or the other. They're both fucking really good.
Yeah. When did you start going to local shows?
96, 97. I got really into, actually, Aaron Shea, guitar player of the Ravenna Arsenal, he came to our school from Catholic school in middle school, I believe, and he was really into Iron Maiden, and he got me into metal, and then, which, you know, Metallica, Megadeth, all that shit, and then once I got into high school, I started getting into the local shit, you know, NDE, fucking...
Basically, like when you were able to actually go out.
Yeah. I mean, I remember going to Peabody's and shit because I think you were allowed to get in there if you're underage.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was all shows.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember going there when we were like fucking. It's the second my sister was able to drive, we started driving to Cleveland and shit to shows.
Do you recall the first local band that like you fell in love with?
NDE, like hands down, man.
A lot of people's choice.
Right.
I mean, I still have a big stack. I used to like grab a set list every time I saw them. Mm-hmm. I have a fuck ton of them.
Do you really still?
Yeah. I was gonna do something with them. I don't know.
Make a big fucking collage. Shit or but, frame all them shits.
I saw them so many fucking times, dude.
So many.
Like, I mean, I've seen more bands now just because so many years have gone by.
Right.
But yeah, there's a point in my life where I'd seen them more than fucking anyone. It was a lot. Pretty much any time they played, I was out going.
I think the same goes probably for me and you too, Grant. Like, I mean,
it was between them and Hate Theory for me.
Oh yeah, Hate Theory.
Like Hate Theory. Like, because me and Jeff were friends when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, I met him when I was 11.
I fucking love them too, man.
Yeah, Hate Theory.
Oh yeah.
You can't not. Like, if you're in the local Northeastern Ohio metal scene, Hate Theory was a giant at one point. Like, those guys fucking crushed.
And they're going to be playing The Outpost, too, October 20th.
October 20th.
Day
before my birthday. Tree. It's like Skinny Tree. See, I'm more excited about Skinny Tree right now than anything, dude.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time, man.
Those guys are fucking great. Yeah. I love those fucking dudes.
Yeah, dude. I'm pretty stoked about it. I have a cousin that used to have a crush on, like, that entire band, and she's pretty pumped.
The entire band minus Joe. Nobody had a crush on Joe.
No. I love
Joe, but
she might have.
Oh, no.
She might have.
No.
I don't know.
Joe was very awkward and like, nobody likes me.
I don't know. He wears like cool like Kangol hats now and shit. Like, I think he's very crushable.
Would you crush that?
I would. I'd crush that shit. Joe, if you're listening.
I love you, Joe.
I'll crush it.
Yeah, I'm excited about Skinny Tree, dude. Like, that was a big thing, you know, for me. And again, day before my birthday. So it's like, happy birthday to me.
Kitchen Knife Conspiracy and Sweaty Mammoth. Which I think we had something to do with Sweaty
Mammoth.
I think
Kitchen Knife just played at Buzzbin.
They did?
Not that long ago.
They did. Like, it was like a week or two ago.
Man, I haven't fucking seen them in
so but they long. Have, they have
have they been active this whole time? Or like a,
no, I don't think so. I think here and there. Like, they've bounced around here and there. Because I can't remember if I had booked them on a show years ago. I don't know. I can't remember.
Because I remember they keep popping up over the years, like, right. Maybe doing one-off shows. Like,
I think they have a different singer now.
I don't know, man.
The dude that used to sing for them is not singing for them? I don't know. I've seen some pictures from the show, and the singer didn't look like the original singer. I could be wrong, but I haven't seen these guys in fucking years. But I always remember the drummer from Kitchen Knife.
Yeah.
That, it, like, during the middle of the set, he would always stand up and do the X thing with his sticks and shit. Like, fucking Chicago! That dude's awesome.
Even though they're in Cleveland, he'd just yell Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Since you were going to shows back then, you can help settle this debate that Grant and I have had for years.
Uh-oh.
Is Crypt Kicker good or bad?
I used to love Crypt Kicker.
Dude, right?
But, at what age?
15. 16. 15. I mean, I haven't listened to that shit in fucking years.
So, since you were like 16 and a half?
Yeah, I just remember that dude, all his lyrics were about suffering. Like the voice. Right. I think his name inside the fucking album was The Voice of Suffering or some shit.
Again, so he listened to them when he was like 15, 16, right. Until the age of maybe 17.
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to pop it on. I have a box at home of like a separate box of old, like all local CDs. So I still got all their shit in there. To pop it on, man.
But. Crypt Kicker has a place. You know what I mean?
I mean, the riff to Everything like Suffering is super good, man.
Double bass like a motherfucker.
Personally, for me, I just never got into them, and it, you know, but they're everybody's like first metal band.
And that's what it was for a long time. I saw them a lot of times back in the day, man.
Yeah,
I remember going to the fucking Flying Machine to see those motherfuckers.
The Flying Trailer.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's probably one of the last times I seen them was out there.
That place was weird, man. You're like, are we in the right spot?
It was very weird. So like, you go Route 2 out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
In the middle of the woods, like 5 miles.
Behind a fucking neighborhood, like a trailer park.
Well, you got in there and it was like fucking huge and there was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
I think I saw Crypt Kicker there with Trapped, with Bobby singing way back in the day.
I definitely would have been there for that.
Yeah.
Obviously. Fucking Trapped. Not the Headstrong.
I just remember, one thing I remember from that show is my friend Sean, like, we were sitting on, there was like tables off to the side of the stage, and we were sitting there, and he's like, dude, I lost my bag of weed, man. I can't find it. And then all of a sudden, there's a spotlight shines on the floor, and this bag of weed is right in the middle of it. He's just like, oh, shit. We fucking laugh so hard about that. We still laugh about that shit.
This week's episode of Keeping It 99 is brought to you by Assassin Tattoo Studios at 1947 West Market Street in Akron, Ohio. Assassin Tattoo Studios is Akron's number one location for great body art. They offer the complete tattoo experience. Their artists are well-versed in all styles of tattooing, from traditional to photorealism. They also specialize in covering up that crappy tattoo that you got from somewhere else or bringing to life an existing tattoo. Something you want to brighten up? Make even cooler, have it pop, you go to Assassin Tattoos. You're always going to be welcome into a friendly, clean environment, and Assassin Tattoo Studios is a single-use, all-disposable shop. Walk-ins and appointments are welcome, so go ahead and drive on down to 1947 West Market Street in Akron, Ohio,
or call 330-983-4135. Once again, that's 330-983-4135. Assassin Tattoo Studios. Tell them Keeping It 99 sent you.
House is gone.
You ever have to sell tickets? You ever have to sell tickets for anybody?
The ticket game?
Like the ticket game, time slot?
I don't do that shit, man.
You've never done it.
Have you never done that in your entire music career?
No, we always turned it down.
Wow.
It's just, look at you.
Damn. That is admirable, man.
Yeah, because every other local band ever.
We've always had a couple of rules, man. Never sell tickets and never play Battle of the Bands.
Those are good rules, dude. And, but you stuck to them.
Yeah. Because
most bands are kind of cornered into selling tickets at least. Like, Battle of the Bands is completely avoidable. You can avoid that at all costs. But sometimes there's shows
it's kind of the genre, I guess. I mean, there's not a lot of bands in the stoner rocky world that do that kind of, like, shows, you know?
Right.
It's more like, it's for a different type of music, I think. Like,
those people they carry cash. Mostly.
Like, I know people in their 40s.
Well, and also, you gotta remember this. There's a lot of non-committers in that fucking scene, too. No one really buys pre-sale, man. I mean, unless it's going to be something they know is going to sell out or something. But, you know, I mean, I always do pre-sale for the cookout just because I think if someone buys a ticket, they're more likely they're going to show up than just
stay on
the couch, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if I would have been doing this, if I would have been playing drums when I was, like, a lot younger, I probably would have sold tickets, man. But I was kind of already knew I didn't want to do that type of shit when I started playing again.
Man, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
I don't even know that. You're probably the first person I've met from the music scene around here that has never sold tickets or had to sell tickets.
Yeah.
That's fucking sweet.
We never really tried to get on a show with, like, any kind of big bands either.
We never did the call up to Peabody's, like, hey.
No, I mean, if we get asked, we'll do shit, and, like, I don't know. I mean, I try to get on shows at, like, places like Grog Shop or around here anyway. Outpost, people give you freedom to do what you want, you know?
The Post.
Hell yeah.
And Joe's always been cool as fuck to me, dude. Always gives me the door, like, ever since the beginning, you know?
Joe, seriously, like, the best person when it comes to running a club and working with the bands. Because he's the only person I've ever known to try and go out of his way to make sure the bands do well. Most promoters venue owners are all about their fucking register and their bottom line.
Any show I've ever done there, put on there, I've always got 100% of the door money. So
yeah,
nice.
I mean, Joe's a solid fucking character when it comes to treating bands.
It's a true story.
Yeah,
it seems like nowadays too. Like there's more places that don't use the formula of, like, selling tickets. Like a place like Annabelle's.
It should have never been a formula.
I mean, I get why people do it. I mean, I guess it gets more people out. I mean, I don't really know. I've never been involved in that kind of promotion, so I don't really know. I mean, but I know, like Lampman does it. He's a reputable fucking guy, you know.
Right. But he also doesn't fuck people over. Like, it got to the point to where it was a thing to where promoters were like, okay, if I just make a bunch of tickets and get a bunch of bands to sell all these tickets, I don't have to work for my money. I got a bunch of fucking minions out working for my money because I'm making all this fucking money. You get a buck a ticket, I get all this other fucking money, though.
And I'm giving you the opportunity.
The opportunity of a lifetime.
To open up for Flaw. Yeah.
I'm Dan Cobb. You want to open up for him?
Yeah, man, that's a lot of fucking bands got fucked over in the wake of that fucking pyramid scheme.
I think that's a lot what had to do with...
Pyramid scheme, exactly.
I think it had a lot to do with killing the vibe that our scene had for a long time, because you couldn't go out on a weekend in the late 90s, early 2000s to a show that wasn't fucking packed. Like, everybody used to go to shows, 2-3 shows a week and shit, like, and they were always fucking packed, and bands would come out to other bands' shows just to support. And it came to a point to where everybody just started kind of doing things for themselves, and these promoters fucking took over all these shows because they're working with the venues, and it ruined everything.
Yeah,
like Ron's Crossroads back in the day, dude, that place was fucking banging. Ron's fucking whole setup was fucking 3 bands, 10 to close, and you pay at the fucking door.
Yeah.
And that place was packed all the fucking time. All the fucking time.
I saw some cool shows there, man. That was a good spot.
Crossroads?
Yeah.
It was, you know, legendary fucking venue. I've been in a couple altercations in that venue. I got my ass beat to some Soylent Green.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I got fucking dropped. Right in front of Jeff Fall, too. Jeff Fall was standing right behind me. Big motherfucker in the pit with his fucking little buddies. And when I say little buddies, like, his one friend was literally 5'3". He was a little dude. He looked like a big dude, but he was a little guy. He was a little guy that looked like a big guy. It was weird. He was big and little at the same time. And so they're being fucking assholes in the pit, and they keep fucking throwing elbows at the back of Buddy's head, like hitting him in the neck and shit. So me and Buddy kind of get wrapped up with these dudes, and the biggest one, I punched him in the face twice. It was like, whack, whack.
And didn't work out well for you?
No, it worked out fine. And, you know, he got broke up or whatever, and, like, I'm fucking telling the dude, like, fuck you, you're a fucking dickhead. Knock that shit off. So he leaves the pit for, like, a song or two. Comes back down into the pit, and, like, I remember exactly what this dude looks like and everything. He had a fucking wife beater on, fucking total douche. But he's a bigger guy. He's, like, 6'1", red hair, fucking 2+. Either way, walks back down into the pit, and I was like, you gonna be cool, you know? And he was like, it's cool, dude. It's cool. And he comes up, and he's like, I'm cool, man. I just want to shake your hand. And he puts his hand out to shake my hand, and I look down at his hand, and this motherfucker hit me across the fucking face with an elbow with everything he had, dude. And fucking Jeff Fall was literally right behind me. That's who I went into was Jeff Fall. And I think he's the one that stopped me from hitting the ground. So, like, I'm going back, and by the time I got, like, up to my feet, like, you know, had my footing, Buddy and the security dude already had this dude wrapped up on the ground. Like, the security dude's, like, fucking choking him. Buddy's fucking, like, trying to fuck him up. So I fucking run over, and I got the dude by the wife beater, and I'm, like, fucking stomping his ribs and shit. Like, fuck you, motherfucker, and we're fucking this dude up. So then here comes this little fucking big buddy who's 5'3", and this other dude that was with him, and they both tackle me to the ground. So when they tackled me to the ground, the little guy was literally using my head as a trampoline.
Oh, fuck.
Like, he's jumping on my head. Ah! Jumping on my head. Oh. And then the next thing I know, it stopped, and I was on my feet. Like, that, dude. It was, like, they were fucking me up, and then they weren't, and I was upright. And I was like, what just happened? And it was Big Sean. It was Sean that used to fucking do the door at Crossroads. And he was a real big fucking dude. He was a wrestling coach for North High School who plays the cello beautifully. And he smashed people. But he fucking tossed both of those dudes and fucking picked me up like I was nothing and just sat me on my feet. And he was like, what's going on? And I was like, them fucking dudes right there. And he's like, get the fuck out. And that was the end of that shit. But yeah, I got my ass beat in that bar.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
I do miss that place.
Me too.
I do miss that
place. It's still weird driving by there, man.
Yeah. You can't because it's so small. Like that the lot. Robin
Hood, man, too. And you say, it's like, what the fuck? How did all that happen right there?
Yeah, where did it fit? Well, because, like, the Crossroads building / Voodoo building, it was a bit bigger on the inside than it looked on the outside. Plus, you had the parking lot. And now when you roll by it, and it's like, where would you even park?
Yeah, right.
How did they have that set up where it worked? But it did. That place was there forever.
Yeah. Joe's Barbecue. It's the dude that sets up on 18 and 43 there in Brimfield.
Yeah.
You've seen his tent there?
I haven't. Was this the cat that did the barbecue last year?
No, that was Kelly. Kelly's Ribs.
Okay.
It's the new dude. But me and Lacey stopped there and ate some of his stuff. It's really good. He knows my sister from the farmer's market and shit. So he's going to hook it up, man, and it's really fucking good. I think everyone's going to enjoy it, man.
Awesome.
Can I have some pulled pork, some ribs?
Where's he usually slanging ribs at?
Right there on the corner by that Sully's, that old
dive bar. Okay, yeah. State Route 43 and 18, right on the corner, there used to be like a little fucking a little auto shop there.
Yeah. Ronnie's Garage. He sets up right there, man, and slangs that shit.
Awesome. So, I didn't even know there was a dude fucking selling barbecue in Brimfield.
Yeah, man, it's good stuff, too. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Dude, fuck yeah.
I'm always excited about that.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm excited about. There's another dude that sells ribs over on 59 towards Ravenna. Those ribs suck. I just want to say.
Oh yeah,
they're not so good.
I don't like shitty ribs.
They're not so good. I can smell the lighter fluid from the road.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
No, how the fuck are you
like
even?
How hot you cooking these motherfuckers?
Jesus Christ, it's bad. Like, that's what I smell when I drive by. Like, I don't smell good smoked meat. I smell fucking fuel. Like, just fuel. I use charcoal. Yeah.
I think they just stay on the bone.
Awesome. Boco 9, fucking...
September 8th.
Saturday.
Dude, Torch, Outpost Concert Club.
Torch, Goose, Actual Form, Ton, Bridesmaid.
Come get your bell rung.
Sweet Cobra. Get that, yeah, get that bell
rung. Come get that itis.
Come eat with us.
Come and get that jam, itis.
Drink. Do your thing. It's my favorite time of the year. I can't wait to be there, dude.
Hey, also, invite everybody you know to that fucking event page and share the shit out of that shit online.
Please. Yeah.
Thank you.
Go just type in Blackout Cookout. It will fucking pop up.
Yeah, you basically type in The Blackout, and it just comes up.
And if you share it, I mean, you won't get a discount, but if you share it, I'll be cool. I'll see it, and I will thank you personally when I see you there.
Fuck yeah.
I'll be like, hey, you're a cool motherfucker. I just want to let you know. I saw what you did on Facebook.
You're cooler than the people that didn't do it.
I think you're a pretty fucking cool dude.
You got a leg up on them dudes.
It's all the cooler you are.
Maybe I'll buy you a beer. First five people that share it, I'll buy a beer.
I'm buying Kenny a beer. Kenny's the only one that deserves a beer.
All right, man.
Kenny's the one that fucking puts the shit together.
Yeah, except that.
Every fucking year.
Yeah, thanks for doing this every year. This is going to be like my third or fourth year in a row celebrate my anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving me
almost a decade of a show to look forward to every year. Like, I've never had like a show since Pantera. And I mean this wholeheartedly, dude. Pantera, like, at the time of Pantera, when Pantera was around, it was the only time that I ever looked forward to a show every year because I knew they were fucking coming.
Right.
At this time and this time because they came twice a year. You know what I mean? So, like, I knew I was gonna fucking get this fucking show and I was excited every fucking year. And it's probably the only fucking show since that time for me that every fucking year, dude, I look forward to this show.
Fuck
the
yeah,
bands,
man.
The food, the fucking people to hang out with. Like, it's like a family reunion for me. All my fucking friends are there, so thank you for putting that on every year.
Seriously.
And not there, giving man. Up on it, dude.
Yeah.
Because it's a great show. And I seriously thank you.
And it's
thank
not you. And it's never felt like just some thrown together thing. Like I said, like, you go to so many shows, you see so many bands, you have such a good fucking ear for talent. Like, you really do. And I've never been to a show where I'm like, ooh, this band, I can't wait for them to be over. Like, when it goes from second stage to main stage, like every single one, I'm like, god damn. I legit, last year, me and my wife, we were sitting outside, band was playing on the, I forget which one, but like, they were playing on the second stage, and I was just like, there hasn't been one bad band at all. She's like, no, not one fucking bad band.
Yeah, I try to keep it that way, man. I mean,
you don't listen to shitty shit, so.
Well,
I wouldn't expect you to put up some shitty shit.
You'd be surprised.
I like Alanis Morissette, dude.
Dude, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Ethan. We're gonna play him out with some fucking Goose, man. We're gonna play him out with you, man. Baby. We'll see you September 8th. Thanks for listening to Keeping It 99. I know it's been forever, but what do you expect from us?
That's kind of what
this
we do.
This is hard work.
It's not.
It's hard work.
It's not.
I have to spend, like...
My other job is hard work.
I have to, like, spend...
They made me clean the room before this even started.
That is true. I did.
Pick up Rich's underwear.
Totally had to pick up Rich's underwear.
Richie doesn't wear underwear.
Then whose underwear did I pick up? All right. Thank you again, Kenny.
Thank you, man.
We'll see you September 8th, baby.
Awesome. Later.
We're Goose. Goose by God. Goose!
Shut up.
Goose!
Stop it.
Goose!
What's Goose?
Would you give him another pill?
Goose!
He's already had two. We'll give him two more.
We are Goose!
Open sesame. Jesus, boy, you're gonna eat.
Suck my ass!
Goose! Goose! Goose!
It was only a year ago today. It was all here. What a way for it all to end. There was a place and work. There was a him. Now it's just a
place.